Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy great love, for Thy mercy, and Thy great goodness. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ and Him crucified, our hope of glory. We have prayed, Father, and we continue to pray that You lead us like a shepherd, guide us as Your erring sheep, keep us in Thy fold, give us wisdom and understanding how that we might go forward to do the work that You would have us do. Father, we thank You and praise Your holy name for our radio ministry that's now going out to all of North Texas and to Abilene. We pray that You continue to bless us, Father, and help us and bless our ministry. We're thankful for our internet ministry that goes to all the world. And so we're thankful and grateful for all that You do for us there. Thank You for giving us the ability to feed the poor and do all the things that we do here in Jesus' name, and to pass on goodness and mercy and blessing and love to all those that we meet. Thank You, Father, for Jesus, for Him dying for our sins and saving us and giving us a new life in Him. Continue to have mercy on us, we pray Thee. Be with our sick, our shut-ins, and all those that we've named. Please restore Chuck to the faith. Save him from himself, we pray Thee, Father, and save us all from ourselves and from the devil. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'd like to give you a little report this morning. We'll have a little report to the church. I'm happy to report to you that, as you well know, that last year we fed 104,000 meals out of this church, and we downloaded 104,795 sermons on our website. Now, there's very little chance, without God being involved in the deal, that both of those would turn out to be 104,000. As you know, we have been asking the Lord to guide us in adding to our radio ministry. We had a gentleman that approached us and has committed to give us a little money, and that money is be spent on expanding our preaching ministry. And we began talking to the radio station in Searcy, Arkansas. I talked to the manager of the station there. He said, well, that they had a continuous recording that they played on the weekend, and that they really didn't have an hour, but he'd come in and put us on for an hour. Between 11 and 12, and then I called him back the next week. No, he didn't think he wanted to do that, but he put us on for an hour on his 99.1 station, which got Searcy. And so I asked him how much for that, and he gave me a price, and I made him an offer a little less. And he said, well, I'll get back with you. I'll call you back by noon. And he never called. So I just said, thank you, Lord, and started looking in Oklahoma City, where another one of our colleges and universities are, and started looking into stations in Oklahoma City. And I contacted one station that the price was somewhat reasonable. I offered him a little less than what he asked, and he said, well, you'd have to talk to the owner of the station, but I feel sure he'd take it. And so I called and left my number for the owner of the station, and he still hadn't called back. And so I took that as another, yes, sir, I'll look elsewhere. And then I got to looking on the web, and if Oklahoma City is like that, an area, their little old broadcast area didn't cover half of Oklahoma City, didn't even get up to Edmond, where our university is up there. So I called Nashville, Tennessee, and I got a hold of a station there, WNQM Nashville, Tennessee. It reaches all of Tennessee, southern Kentucky, and northern Alabama with 50,000 watts of power. That's a lot of power. Our North Texas station is only 10,000 watts, so it'll let you see that this is a huge, huge station. So he made me a price. I offered him a little less than what he asked. And he said, well, yeah, I think that we'd do that. And I said, well, I'm going to talk to the church about it Sunday. He said, what do you know about shortwave radio? And I said, well, I really don't know anything about it. And he said, well, shortwave radio, there's 2 billion people in the world that listen to shortwave radio. And most of them, the higher educated people in their societies, in their countries. He said, we have a shortwave radio station here. And so he starts telling me about what it'll do and so forth. I said, well, how much does that sell for? And he said, well, it's comparable to regular radio time. So I met with some of the trustees here, called other people in leadership, and we all came to the conclusion that we ought to make him an offer. And so we offered him a six-month contract, and he's approved that. And so here is the good news. Our radio broadcast, shortwave radio antenna, I'm going to try to explain what he explained to me, and I'm not being well-educated in this. I probably won't do well. But he said that they used to have a curtain antenna that would broadcast everything in that direction. So if they're here in Nashville, Tennessee, they'd broadcast that way. And so what they do is they beam the radio wave up to the ionosphere, and it bounces back down, and it's like a ball. And every time it bounces not as far up, and so it comes back. And so with this shortwave radio, it gets all of the Great Lakes area, all of the East Coast of the United States. It wraps around and gets all of Canada and Alaska. It gets Mexico, Central America, all of South America, all of Africa, all of Europe, all of Eastern Europe, all of the Middle East, half of Russia, down through half of India. The ideal time is to get on early in the morning, because this radio broadcast only carries as far as the daylight hours. So this radio broadcast will carry, when it's 8 o'clock in the morning in Nashville, Tennessee, it will be 7 o'clock at night in half of India. So half of India will get to hear it. As it gets dark, they'll begin to lose the signal. Over half of the world's population is involved in this radio broadcast. We made him an offer that does not require me begging you for money. We've already raised the money. God has raised the money and provided the money. And so what I'd like to ask is that the members of the Main Street Church of Christ, if you please rise, those of you that are members, baptized members of the Main Street Church of Christ, if you please rise. If you approve of the leadership of this church and the things that we're doing, please be seated. And if you approve of what we're trying to do here, if you approve, please be seated. Let the record reflect it's 100% approval. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we pray that you give us wisdom. We pray that you help us, guide us, and direct us, that we might speak and teach only the things that you would have us do. Help the word go out from this place, Father, to all the world. You know that we're not worthy, that we're sinners, and what rotten subjects we've been to you. But you've healed us and made us whole, and give us a new heart and a new vision of Jesus Christ. We believe that we can do all things that you told us to do. You told us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and we're just stupid enough to believe that we can do that. And so we pray that you make it possible. Help us, guide us, and direct us that we always please thee. Discipline us, Father, like children. Cast not thy Holy Spirit from our presence, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We, as you know, have 69 countries that came to us on the internet last month from Iraq-India. I am preaching among the four poor fisheries preaching the true gospel to them in 5 villages. I need your prayers. I found you on the web from Gidalu Church of Christ in India. I preached to rural villages at night and worked by day to feed my family of 4. It is hard to supply 1 meal a day. Please pray for me. How wonderful. How wonderful. You know, we think we got it bad, and the homeless in this country really has it better than a lot of people in the rest of the world. Isaac Dade, minister of the Church of Christ in Baku, Gambia. 1.3 million souls here with 90% Muslims. World Bible School sent me a lead, and by him we have enrolled 50 more in World Bible School. Thank you, Lois. Lois is in charge of our World Bible School here. From Bleti Mala, Central Africa, I am Lifia Bandia, Evangelist, Church of Christ. I found your website, Big Gospel Meeting at Mambuka. 20 congregations came and 44 were baptized. We need raisins to make fruit of the vine, villagers using tea leaves. I'm a truck driver in 48 states, mainly California. Your sermons are thunder and lightning and rain for a parched land. Our message is going out to all the world, to all of the earth. And isn't this a wonderful thing that God has made this available to us, this little church, to reach out to the whole earth? How wonderful it is. We're going to study this morning, if you'd be opening your Bibles, to Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. The word faith is often applied subjectively to one's inner trust with reliance in Christ or God to save us. One believes, a synonym for belief. In other words, it's similar to the word belief. I use an example here that I think the King James translators used when they chose whether to translate pistios, which is the Greek word that is translated either belief or faith. I think if they were looking for a stronger word, they chose faith. And if they were looking for a weaker word that just involved intellectual, mental assent, they choose the word belief. In other contexts, especially with the Greek article, that we translate the word the is what's called an article in the Greek language. And so we translate this the, this article the, and it's called, it's tes, T-E-E-S, pistios, P-I-S-T-E-O-O-S, and we translate that the faith. Now, this tis, this word tis, the, if I told you, here is the car that I gave you, would you start looking around at other cars, or would you go to the one that I gave you? I mean, use your head here, what these words mean. The is like an arrow that's pointing directly to something that's telling you this is the one. This is the one and only one. This is it. Now, if I give you this car and you start looking around at another car, do you think I'm going to let you take another one? You're going to have to take the car that I give you. These are important that you understand the word the. And so in other contexts, especially with the article that we translate the faith, tis pistios, is used in the objective sense, meaning the body of truth, the whole system of religion that is taught, what is believed and practiced by New Testament Christians, and it's a pattern for true Christianity. The faith is a system that superseded and took the place of the Mosaic law or the Mosaic system. So begin looking in Galatians chapter 3 with me. And I'm going to jump up and get a couple of things that's not in our PowerPoints. Verse 6, Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, pistios God, just plain believe now without that article, the, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted or reckoned to him for righteousness instead of righteousness in place of righteousness. Abraham was not righteous. Abraham was a sinner like you and me. But this belief, this faith that Abraham had, it was counted to him instead of righteousness and in place of righteousness. Now drop over to verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. God said, get thee up from thy country, from thy kindred, from my father's house, and go to a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great and mighty nation. And then he told him, your seed shall multiply as the stars of heaven and the sand that is upon the seashore. And in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. So this is the promise that Paul is talking about here in verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he, God, saith, not to seeds, he didn't promise this to a lot of children, as to seeds, as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. So Paul is saying that God, way back here, before the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, he promised to Abraham that in one of his children, a child that was going to come through his family line, would all families of the earth be blessed. Now let's continue reading here. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years afterwards, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. What it's saying is that God made that promise back here before he ever gave the law. So the law was never meant as the way to save us. The way to save us is always the promise that God gave back here to Abraham, that in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's going to always be the way of saving people. The law came 430 years later after the promise, didn't do away with the promise. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, then is no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. By divine lips God gave it to Abraham and promised it. Therefore, when serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions. We're transgressors. We're sinners. Sin was overcoming the world. So God wanted to show people what was right and wrong. The Bible gives us some different reasons that the law was given. Here's one of the reasons right here, because of transgressions. Romans 3:19 says the law was given that every mouth might be stopped, that all of the holy people who claim that they're holy and righteous and just, that they keep their mouth shut. When in what serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed, till Christ should come, to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator, Moses. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law that could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scriptures have concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of, see this word of there? The faith of who? By the faith of Kelly? No. By the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, Christ had faith. That shouldn't be a surprise to you. This is a big debate in Bible translation that the NIV has all wrong. Whether this is objective or subjective gender, it's used many times in Scripture, and we'll study that. It's a different lesson sometime. But this is talking about the faith of Jesus. Jesus had faith when they nailed him to that board. He said that I lay down my life that I might take it up again. He knew he could do that. He had faith. He believed he could do that. And he did it. He laid down his life and rose himself again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself that I might take it up again. So Jesus had faith, but by the scripture is concluded, all understand that by the promise of the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe, we who believe his righteousness, the righteousness of Christ that comes by his faith, that faith is now reckoned, counted, and imputed to each and every one of us if we're a child of God. But before, now you see where it says before faith came, the old translators just didn't understand. Martin Luther started this, that we're justified by faith alone and all that stuff. And so every time they'd run into this article, tis, they just drop it half of the time. They didn't see any need for it. They didn't see any reason to put that word thee there. They thought, well, we'll just put it there sometimes. And they, arbitrarily, they chose when to put it there. And what I'm telling you is they made a mistake when they did that. And it's not just the King James translators. It's the new translators also, the NIV and all of the rest of them. They all make the same mistake in dropping this article V. And so let's read Galatians 3:23. But before the faith, the article is there. Before the faith, what faith? New Testament Christianity. What's being talked about here is a comparison between the Mosaic system, the law of Moses, and the faith, the New Testament faith, Christianity, all of Christianity, and all of its rules, and all of its doctrines included, makes up the faith. But before the faith came, we were kept under the law of Moses, shut up like a fortress, unto the faith, waiting for the faith to come, which should afterwards be revealed. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, or tutor, our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Not the faith, but justified by faith. By the faith of what? By the faith of Christ. When he died on that cross, that same faith that was his is now attributed to us when we believe and flee to Christ and put our faith and trust and confidence in him. That righteousness of God is now reckoned to us and accounted to us and given to us. Verse 25. But after that, the faith is come, after New Testament Christianity is come, we are no longer under the school, a schoolmaster or a tutor. For you are all the children of God by the faith. You're not the children of God by just believing one time and doing nothing else. You're the children of God by practicing New Testament Christianity. Sure, it's subjective. You had to believe it one time and continue to believe it. But you know, it's like Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. You had to believe that first. But also that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, the verse says. So the other part of that verse, that diligently seeking him, this is New Testament Christianity. To hear, to believe, to have faith, to trust, be baptized into Christ, has come to Christ in the appointed way, but also after that you need to do other things that we're going to be finding out about. Verse 26 again. For you are all the children of God by the faith, not just faith, the faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We do not come, the children of God, by the law, but by the faith, tis pistios, the faith because it is only one faith. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, if you'll turn with me, please. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 first. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. The Greek word there, one, is heis. But the Greek word for faith there is mono. Heis is a compound singular showing that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together are the Lord, while mono is like a monoplane. It just has one wing. There's just only one faith. We sing a song. I wish we sang it. We need to learn it. It's a great song. It's just one way to the gate. There are many paths in this world of sin, but there's only one that I shall travel in. 'Tis the old crossroad on the way called straight. There's just one way to the pearly gate. There's just one way to the pearly gate, to the crown of life and the friends that wait. 'Tis the old crossroad on the way called straight. There's just one way to the pearly gate. We need to remember that song. That song is a great song. And what I'm here to tell you today is there is just one way to the pearly gate. Those of you that just drove up today that hadn't been here before, I want to tell you that you've fallen off the cabbage patch in the cabbage packet and come up smelling like roses here because you came to the right place. Not only do you get a nice lunch downstairs after worship, that's just added benefit, but here you get the truth about God, the revealed truth, not by some man that says, "Oh, God, give me this dream, and I brought you this message." You get it straight from the Word of God is what you get here. There is one body and one spirit, even as your calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But see, it's always been that way with God. In Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In Isaiah chapter 35, beginning in verse 5. Remember, this is messianic prophecies here about the Christ going to come in 750 years. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened. Then will the ears of the deaf be unstuck. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. But down to verse 8 in that chapter, then, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Notice that. It's the way. There's no other way. It's the way of holiness. For the unclean shall not pass over it. No, you got to have your sins washed away to get in this church of Christ. You can't just join the church and come like you are. You got to come and have your sins washed away. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, sinners like you and I, for the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Let me tell you something, brethren. You got to go to college. You got to be taught to mess this up. This is so simple, you have to go to school to mess this up. This gospel is plain and simple. You got to have an agenda. You have to be bought and paid for by Slewfoot to mess this up. This gospel is too simple to mess up. Jeremiah 32:39, "Now give them one heart in one way." Not a whole bunch of ways. There's not a whole bunch of ways to come to God. You can't go to every church and go down and ask them, "What must I do to be saved?" One of them tells you, "Well, all you got to do is believe." And another tells you, "Oh, you got to pray your way through." And another tells you, "Well, you got to stand on one foot and sing the Eyes of Texas." They all got a way, a different way that you got to do to be saved. God's not the author of confusion. God doesn't work that way. There's just one way to the pearly gate. You come to Him in the way appointed, the way that He told you to. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." Well, our church is 1,000 people. We got 1,000 people in our church, and we got all this money. Our contribution was $100,000 last week. Well, you're probably in the wrong church. Probably in the Broadway. That's probably where you're at. I don't know why anybody had ever named the church the Broadway Church, but some of them have. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, not a way, the way. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that findeth it. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. Check them out, see if they're really Bible-believing people or if they're some of these postmodern hypocrites that's trying to take over the Churches of Christ. And if they are, just keep going until you find some real Bible-believing people that are out there. Visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 and be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." When you get there, Mohammed's not going to be sitting on that throne. Buddha's not going to be sitting on that throne. The Bali Ha's not going to be sitting on that throne. You can't come any other way but through Jesus Christ, and Him crucified is the only way. But there's going to be very few that do it. In Luke 18, verse 8, again the translators leave thee out. Jesus said, talking about those that cried Him day and night for revenge, "I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find thee faith?" Not faith. "Shall He find thee faith?" Pure New Testament Christianity on the earth. It's a rhetorical question, brethren. There's 6 billion people on earth, and less than 3 million are members of the Churches of Christ. There's very, very, very few that's found New Testament Christianity. Most believe some doctrine of men, some tradition of men. I don't know how God's going to judge all that, but I do know how He's going to judge you if you'll put your faith and trust in Christ, come to Him in the appointed way, and worship Him in spirit and truth as He's told you to do by singing, listening to preaching, praying, taking the Lord's Supper, and giving of your blessings to the poor. I know how God will treat you then. He'll bless you and say, "Come in." I don't know how He's going to deal with you if you do the other things. When Jesus returns, will there be any New Testament Christianity left on the earth? It's a rhetorical question. There'll be very few, and there's very few of us today. Jude 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you to exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith," just the faith now, "the faith which was once," and that Greek word there, "once," means once and for all time, "which was once and for all time, forever, delivered unto the saints." The true New Testament Christianity was delivered to the saints. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We want to look at that one again. We've looked at that every week for the last few weeks. I want y'all to get this one. This is important. And Paul says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same," not something new, "the same thing, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Postmodernists today say, well, there's no standard that we can know what the truth is. There is a standard. It's called the Word of God. It's revealed truth. It's absolute truth. There's no other truth. It is different than all other things. When Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, right across the river in Syria, the Rashama tablets were being written. And you just compare them together. Just compare them. The Rashama tablets tell you, burn your firstborn son and sacrifice to Baal. And they tell you to offer your firstborn daughter and sacrifice to Astoreth. They tell you to get naked and go dance and worship around a pole to worship God. And then the Bible tells you, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. There's no comparison. One is absolute truth. The other is an absolute lie. There's no halfway. Now notice what Paul tells Timothy. And the things, the very same thing, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Postmodernists say, well, we have a constant evolving understanding of God, and so we don't know how God judges things, and we don't know how he acts about things. And so we'll just accept everything. We'll have a smorgasbord religion. You can just have a little of this and a little of that and just a little dab of do. You pick what you want. That's not the way that it works, brethren. That's not the way that it works. Paul told Timothy, the things that you've seen and heard of me, first generation, the same Timothy was, he's a second generation, the same he was to give to faithful men, third generation, who will be able to teach others also, the fourth generation. Clearly, Paul did not see an evolving hip Christianity. Now, we got a professor at ACU that says he's a postmodern mystic theist, pantheist, that is happily situated in the churches of Christ. And he thinks that that's hip and chic. Let me tell you something. I was hip when he was still in diapers. I owned one of the first head shops in Dallas, Texas. I've been further being hip under the house looking for chicken eggs than he'll ever ride in a car. This guy don't know nothing about being hip. He needs to go back to the Bible. He was not taught right. Another generation taught him to disrespect God and his word. He needs to get on his knees and he needs to pray to God and say, have mercy on me. I'm creating false teachers. And those of you that are supporting the universities that teach that type of thing and employ those type of men, need to withhold your funds from them. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests became obedient, were obedient to the faith. I want you to notice something. This is one of the summaries of the book of Acts. Notice before in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, and those that gladly received his words were baptized, and that day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. So that summary says that God added. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Look at what chapter 6, verse 7 says. And the word of God increased and the numbers of disciples multiplied. It's changed now. It's not being added anymore. The disciples are multiplying. I'm telling you, true Christianity bears much fruit. It always has, it always will. True Christianity bears fruit. In Acts chapter 13, verse 7, Paul's starting his first missionary journey in the book of Acts, and it says, Acts 13, verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymaeus, the sorcerer, for so his name is by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. They had declared to him Jesus Christ and him crucified, but they had declared to him about the church, about the kingdom of God, the things that he needed to do to continue to be part of this New Testament Christianity. To turn him away from personal faith and trust in Christ, but also in that system that goes with personal faith, the faith previously described, in short, when the church began on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. So that kind of is a summary of what this original Christianity was like. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I'm telling you, you need to do that. What is that? Well, it's this whole corpus of Scripture that has been written down for you that Peter says, I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's all revealed right here for you. God loves you just as much as he loves me. He's not going to give the Pope some sort of special secret revelation and not give it to you and not give it to me. We all have the same Bible so that we can come to know God. It's really simple stuff. You got to go to school. You got to be educated to mess this stuff up. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, the original faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God, the final consummation of our souls. Disciples are literally scholars, and the Church of Christ is a school. Our doctrine and teaching came from God through Christ Jesus and his apostles. The teaching contains the essential principles of New Testament Christianity, which is called the faith. In Acts chapter 16, verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. I want you to notice, first thing is disciples were added. Next thing is disciples are multiplied. Now what's happening? Churches are added daily. Congregations of the church are added daily. If we'll return to the Bible that our forefathers preached in the first century and Campbell and Stone movement began in the 1800s, go back to the understanding that the Bible is God's revealed truth and teach and preach it, nothing else. I'm telling you, much fruit. Christianity will bear much fruit. All of you can be soul winners. All of you are helping us here by just being here and putting your little old dollar in the pan. You're helping take the gospel to the whole wide world. How? Well, you're helping buy them hot dogs downstairs we're feeding the poor with. The money at this church goes to two things: feeding the poor and preaching the gospel to all the world. None of us get paid. We do this because we like it. This is fun. This is really fun. Life is great when you're having fun, isn't it, Lois? And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. Real Christianity bears much fruit. Paul made a good confession before kings and rulers in Acts chapter 24, verse 14. But this I confess unto you after the way, which they call heresy. The way, not just some old way, but the way, which they call heresy. I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things are written in the law and the prophets. In Romans chapter 1, verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his sake. Because the grace of God was revealed, the gospel truth to his holy apostles, it is necessary that we have genuine obedience to the faith. Not just some kind of obedience, but genuine obedience, not just to any faith, but to the faith. The context in Romans 14:1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. The context is to receive the Jewish brother who's weak in the faith and still keeps kosher food laws and days, but don't allow him or it to become a matter of constant disputing and hassling among the church. It's kind of like we've got some people in the churches of Christ that years ago were one cuppers. They wanted to drink out of one cup. Well, some of them come here one time and they said, we want to have one cup. And I said, that'd be fine. Y'all get yourself a cup and go back there in that room back there and y'all just slurp out of it together. It'd be fine with me. But I'm telling you now, there's some people in this church that I don't particularly care to slurp behind. And so we're going to do it a little different than that here. And so if you all sit back there and slurp out of the same cups, fine with me. Just as long as you don't start telling people that you got to slurp out of one cup to go to heaven. Now if you start doing that, you're not going to be welcome here anymore. Well, since they couldn't propagate their false doctrine, well, they got up and off they went. And that's better to be shed of them than to be going about with doubtful disputations. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit yourself like men, be strong. Quit or behave yourself like men and not like children tossed about with to and fro with every wind of doctrine and slide of men. Ye have many enemies, be constantly on guard against evil. Hold strong to the gospel and New Testament Christianity as the revealed truth of God. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? And so here Paul tells us to examine ourselves whether we can be in the faith. Paul is saying, try yourself. Examine your hearts compared to what I have written and see if you're in the true faith or not. The disciples, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together. So you're sitting out there in the church, and you come together on Sunday. The disciples came together to what? Acts chapter 20, verse 7? To break bread. Did the church that you went to this morning, did they break bread? Well, no, they didn't break bread. They didn't have the Lord's Supper, but they did other things, then you're at the wrong place. If you examine yourself, you can see whether you're at the right place or not by the Bible. Upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, well, they didn't do that, you're at the wrong place. Put yourself to the test. Try yourself as gold is tried and as silver is tried. The Old Testament says, and I will refine them as one refines gold and try them as one tries silver. It's easy to find a phony religion as it is to find a phony gold coin that's mixed with base metal. Are you true in Christ? Is Christ in you, you hope of glory? Are you becoming Christ-like? Are you bearing much fruit? Christianity is always saving souls. Fruit is the saving of souls and the advancement of Christian character. Solomon says, he who saves souls is wise, and Christian character is defined in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and temperance, against which there is no law. Well, are you beginning to kind of get your drinking under control? Truck's wife wasn't able to do that. She died. Sean got hers under control, and she still died because she had cirrhosis of the liver. She drank every day. Well, if you drank every day, even if you become a Christian, you might still suffer some of the consequences of the things that you did before you become a Christian. You might get AIDS from having sex, unprotected sex out there in the world, or you might even try to protect it and the thing didn't work. And you might come down with AIDS and you might die because of AIDS, but you can become a Christian and live forever, but you're still going to have to pay the piper for the things that you do sometimes in life. Galatians 1:23, Paul speaking about his reputation was probably as bad as mine, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preach the faith, notice that, the faith that he was once destroyed. Paul was well known both as the persecutor in times past and then presently in that present day as one who preached true Christianity. In Ephesians 4:13, it says, until we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God and to the perfect man, the measure and stature and the fullness of Christ, that we all come, both Jew and Gentile, in unity in this Christian system proclaimed by the apostles. Knowledge is a true and full understanding that God was manifest in the flesh as Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the cross, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The perfect man is thoroughly taught and instructed in New Testament Christianity. Always remember, knowledge is to know something. Wisdom is to practice what you know. In Colossians 1, verse 23, if you continue in the faith, the one and only faith, the one and only New Testament Christianity, grounded and settled, and be not moved from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was, past tense verb, notice that, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You will be unreprovable if you continue in the faith of New Testament Christianity. You must be grounded in the true knowledge and settled, firm, persevering, and steadfast in the truth of New Testament Christianity. The hope of the gospel is the resurrection of our bodies, the glorification of our bodies with our resurrected bodies and our souls in future realms of blessedness that we can't imagine, that's beyond the thinking of man. Titus 1:13, this witness is true, therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Sound in the faith is that they practice the incorrupt teaching of New Testament Christianity. In 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So to turn aside from the New Testament system is to depart from the faith. To apostatize from the faith is to renounce the whole system, in effect, by bringing in doctrine and teachings of devils who influence and taught false prophets and whose goal it is to change every truth of God to a lie. Don't pray to Jesus, pray to Mary. Let me put on this this outfit, this suit, and I'm a priest and you're not. Don't, if your mama dies, bring some money and I'll pray her out of purgatory. Isn't that a bunch of garbage? That's what they get people to go for, is the okey-doke. We'll just change baptism to sprinkling because I don't want to get in that water. That water's cold. I don't want to get in that water and I'm getting fat and old. And we'll just change the Lord's Supper to the Eucharist. And instead of praying to Jesus, we'll pray to Mary. We'll change everything. Instead of singing, we'll just bring a piano in. It took them 600 years to get an organ in the church. You know why? because the organ was played in the Colosseum in Rome when they fed Christians to lions. Anytime a Christian heard an organ, they headed for the hills. They got away from that area. Anytime a Christian heard an organ, the pipe organ was played in the Colosseum in Rome when our brothers and sisters were eaten by lions. In 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, the stuff that he'd been committed, the New Testament Christianity, avoiding profane, vain babblings, and the opposition of science, and that Greek word is gnostos, Gnostics, in other words, as it's falsely called. And so, which some professing, 1 Timothy 6:21, what some professing have erred concerning the faith. So to err concerning the faith, I want you to notice what Gnosticism became in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, John says that it's the Antichrist. Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. Antichrist not come at the end of time. Antichrist has always been here, and there's been many of them. Anti means instead of Christ, in place of Christ, or substituted for Christ. Whereby we know that it is the last time. How do we know Antichrist people? Well, they went out from us. They were part of New Testament Christianity in the beginning, but they went out, they started to do it their own way. They went to the smartest board, they said, I'm going to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this for my religion, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand on one foot and whistle the eyes of Texas to be saved. Well, you might as well do that as some of the other things they tell you to do. And they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. In Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in the one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith. We are wrestling, huh? We're wrestling together in union against this enemy for the truth of the pure gospel of Christ, which is his death, burial, and resurrection. This is the foundation of the entire New Testament Christian system. And I want you to be strong in the faith. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. The Bible says, for moreover I declare unto you the gospel, that's which you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory that which I delivered unto you. What if you don't, unless you believed in vain? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The New Testament Scriptures tell us the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies. We want to ask that you believe this morning that gospel. If you really do believe, as the Bible says, if... In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you'll put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you, confess Christ as Lord, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And if you'll put your faith and trust in him and repent of your sins, and be baptized into Christ on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can come and be a Christian just exactly like they did in the first century right now. You can just march right down here at the front and meet me right down at the front. If you have sin in your life, won't you come now? while we stand and sing. Stand up, face the church, brother. We've been trying to get David down here for the last 2 months. We've been working with him. David, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes, sir.
Now I want to confess your sins and repent, be baptized into Christ.
Yes, sir.
Confess Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. Go right in over here and we're going to baptize you straight away. How y'all today? My sister.
Based on David's confession, I now baptize this repentant believer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin.